Look at Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. This is one of my favorite verses in Scripture. And as we are now in a new year, I figured this would be appropriate for us to read. Joshua 1, 8 says this. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we are so grateful for your coming to earth, because we know that your coming means our salvation, and that means that we can be with you forever. And so we this morning want to worship you first and foremost. And we know, Lord, that your word is here for that purpose. So we ask that, Holy Spirit, we ask that you would open up our hearts to listen and hear what you have to say to us from your word. Lord, we are leaving an old year, and we're getting ready. We're going into a new year, Lord. And sometimes, Lord, and oftentimes we are uncertain, and we need what is certain. We need you, Lord. And so we ask that you would speak to us today from the only word that is certain. And we thank you for it. We thank you for redeeming us, for going to the cross to save us. We thank you for your love for us. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Well, the other day, I was listening to Moody Radio. Who here listens to Moody Radio? Anybody? A few of you? Okay. There's a lot of good stuff on there, and one of the SRN news reports was saying something about a study that was done recently, and what they were saying was that evangelical Christians are much more likely, if they're going to make a New Year's resolution, they're going to make it more likely based on their devotion to God as opposed to something else, like losing weight or, you know, working out more, or, you know, not eating certain things and eating other things, and, you know, those kinds of things. Evangelical Christians are much more likely by a higher percentage to make a resolution focused on their devotion to God, such as, you know, reading the Bible more, or studying the Scriptures, memorizing the Scriptures, being more consistent in prayer times, those kinds of things. You guys get the picture. Evangelical Christians are much more likely to spend their time thinking about what is this year going to be like, and how am I going to be more devoted to God. Every new year, no matter who you are, I would say, in this country, when we get to the new year, you're thinking about, what is this year going to look like? How is this year going to look different than it did last year? How is it going to be better than it was last year? Right? I mean, we all think about that. New Year's Eve, if you remember that it's New Year's Eve, which we, you know, if you're in my household, you may or may not remember that it was New Year's Eve, that tomorrow's New Year, you know. But if you're thinking about it, you're thinking, how is the next year going to be different than this year? How is 2016 going to be different from 2015? And we start analyzing the past. We start thinking about, what did I like? What did I not like? You know, on New Year's Eve, once we did remember that it was New Year's Eve, I asked the boys at the dinner table, and I said, hey, what did you guys like about this last year? What was fun? What were things that you enjoyed, or what were things that you liked about the year 2015? And of course, you know, if you're 2 years old and 4 years old, you have no concept of what a year is. So I had to just kind of, so Amy and I helped him out a little bit and just, okay, this is what we did, you know, that was fun, right? That was, you know, that was cool. But you start thinking about the year past, and then on New Year's Day, we started talking about what do we want this year to look like? How do we want this to be different? And as many of you know, on, well, this Friday, actually, we're going to be traveling, and we're going to be adopting a new baby. And, well, he's not brand new. I mean, he's brand new to us, but he's a toddler. And, oh, wow, I got some music to, I know, that's going to be us in the airport, you know. Yeah. So, we're going to have a fun time. Pray for us, because it's going to be stressful. Anyway, so, we are going to be going into a new year, and a lot of new things. New resolutions, new plans. We are going to be in transition. And I want to say to all of you that you're going to be in transition. You are in transition. We as a church are in transition. We desire better things to come, don't we? We desire better things. We desire better things for each other as a church, right? As a church family. We desire better things for each other in the new year, in the last year. We desire more people to know Jesus through our ministry in this year, 2016, than we saw in 2015. We are in transition. Joshua was a leader who was in transition. If you remember where this takes place in time, they've been in the wilderness for 40 years, okay? Moses, who is like the greatest leader that Israel had ever known, and even the Bible says he's the greatest prophet until Jesus arrived, the greatest man, a man who met with God face to face on the mountain. Here he is. He brings Israel out of Egypt, out of slavery. There's a huge transition there. Brings them out of slavery. And then what do? Do they go straight to the promised land? No. They wander in the desert for 40 years. And there's a song by Andrew Peterson that I really like. It says, they whined and they wandered. They whined and they wandered. And they did. For 40 years. And Moses was the man whom God chose to keep it all together. Because they were worse than any church that you could ever step into, any dysfunctional church that you could ever step into. They were just as bad as that. Whining, griping, complaining, and at each other's throats. And here, Moses is the leader of this group, of the nation of Israel, and he is leading them to do what? To go into the promised land eventually. But something happens on the way. In their whining and complaining, they say, we don't have enough water. And God tells Moses, he says, now what I want you to do is I want you to take your staff and I want you to go to this rock and I want you to speak to it. And when you speak to it, it will flow, water will flow out for the people and they'll have enough water to drink. But there's a problem because Moses is angry. He's angry at the people and he's proud. He's proud. He's self-righteous anger inside of him. And instead of speaking to the rock, what does he do? Takes his staff and he strikes it. Water comes out. God still blesses his action even though Moses disobeyed. But because he disobeyed, he would not be the one to lead his people into the promised land. They would not cross, he would not cross the river Jordan. He would die in the wilderness. God was disciplining him. Here's the greatest leader, the greatest prophet, who spent time in God's presence. And here God is disciplining him, friends, and that's a lesson right there in itself that none of us should ever think that we are above anybody else. Never think that we're too holy or Never think that our sin does not have consequences. So, Moses is not going into the promised land, but who is going to lead the people into the promised land? Joshua. Joshua is going to lead the people into the promised land. He is now, they are now in a great transition. Moses, you are no longer the leader. Joshua, you're in charge. And so God was going to be with him as he went into the promised land. Where is he going to find the strength? Where is he going to receive direction for what God has called them to do? Here's Moses, the greatest leader. Here's Joshua, who's been his assistant. How is he going to lead the people? And the answer we find right here, chapter 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it. That's the answer right there. And let me just say, what is good for Joshua is also good for you and also good for me. What's good for Joshua is also good for you and it's also good for me as we ourselves are in transition. If you like to take notes, you can write this down. God's word is the only sufficient guidebook for the way forward. God's word, the Bible, the Holy Scripture, is the only sufficient guidebook for the way future. Therefore, meditate on it. When Christians meditate, we spend time in God's word. We read it. We memorize it. We pray over it. Unlike meditation, you know, from some ancient Near East, you know, religion, right? You know, their meditation is like some elevation of the mind. This is our elevation of the mind only comes from the word. But God is telling Joshua to meditate on this book of the law. Let's read it again. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then, you will make your way prosperous and you'll have good success. Now, if I were Joel Osteen or Joyce Meyer, what I would say to you is that if you follow this book and you obey the words of this book, then the blessings are going to flow and you can live the American dream. Any car that you want, as long as you follow the words of this book, the blessings are going to flow from God. You'll never have to worry about finances again. You're going to be healed from every kind of sickness, every kind of disease that you might have. God's going to heal you, and he's going to provide a house for you, and your problems are going to be gone, as long as you just follow this. But I'm not Joyce Meyer, and I'm not Joel Osteen, and I'm going to tell you right now that they are heretics, and when you see them on TV, don't listen to them, because that is not what God is saying to Joshua. That is not what he is telling him. What he is telling him is not that you're going to have a fat house and three cars and a private jet and your best life now. What he is telling him is that if you obey, if you follow, then the mission I have given you will go through. You will do as I have called you to do. The mission that I have given you to go into the promised land now will be complete. We've got to take this in context, okay, guys? Just like we have to take every passage of Scripture in context. So read there, chapter 1, verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness of this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give to them. Only be strong and courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. You see what God is doing here? He's preparing Joshua for a mission. Verse 6, right there. For you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give to them. Friends, this has been hundreds of years. If you think back to Abraham, okay? And we studied Genesis a few years ago. Abraham, chapter 12. God speaks to Abraham. He calls him out. He says he's going to make him into a great nation. He's going to give him land. And what else is he going to do? He's going to make him a blessing to all nations on earth. That's the calling of Abraham. Now the nation is grown, right? I mean, they had a lot of babies in Egypt. And then now they're wandering through the desert for 40 years and having babies. And the nation is growing. And the plan is still the same. The plan is still the same that God has for them. That he's going to make them a great nation and give them the land, and he's going to make them a blessing to every nation. But they've got to do something first. They've got to go into the land and take it over. And everybody who doesn't worship God is going to be gone. That's the plan. So, how is that going to be done? How is Joshua going to do this? How is he going to accomplish this? The answer is meditate on the Word. Day and night, spend time in it. Know it, study it, love it, cherish it. This is your most valuable possession. The Word, the book of the law. This is where you need to invest yourself. That's the way forward. That is prosperous and successful. It's not even so much, yes, they are inheriting something, and yes, there are riches. But the mission is the key point here. Your prosperity and your success in the mission. And what I want to say for us today is that we also have a mission from God, the Great Commission, right? That is our mission from Christ. When he ascended to go with the Father, he gave us a Great Commission. And he said, this is what he said. He said, the 11 disciples, they were gathered at Galilee. They went up to the mountain as Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. That phrase right there, that's it. That's the mission. That's the mission. Go and make disciples. Where? Of all nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. That's Matthew 28, verse 16 through 20. This is the message, this is our mission. But friends, if we relate it back to Abraham, you see, it's always been God's mission. You see where I'm going with this? Okay. God calls out Abraham. At that point, there weren't people that were really following after God. Everybody was just kind of doing their own thing. And God calls Abraham out and says, you, in your old age, even though you have no kids and it doesn't seem like you can, I'm going to make you a great nation. And so here he is working his plan of salvation for the whole world through Abraham. And then this nation grows. And then it goes on. And then eventually Moses is called out to lead the people. And now Joshua. And then after Joshua, there would be others. And then Jesus would come. And Jesus now sends us on a mission to make disciples of all nations. And if we look at the lives of the people that were called on God's mission, we're going to have to redefine what we think prosperous and successful is. What is prosperity? What is success? Well, if you look back in the Old Testament, it's hard to tell. Did Israel really fulfill what God had for them? Go on, Joshua, Judges. They never really completely did. And then David comes along and he's a great king. He's a great king. And he messes it up. And then Solomon, and after Solomon, man, it's so bad. Divided nation. Prosperity and success. Oh, I forgot the prophets. I'm sorry. I forgot the prophets. Man, you read the prophets. Were they successful? Were they successful people? Didn't their own people hate them? Isaiah, Jeremiah, didn't the people hate them and despise them and say, shut up, stop talking to us, because we don't want to hear what you have to say? All these scripture verses that we read, we love to read from Isaiah, and all the scripture verses that we read during Advent and from Isaiah and all those things, I wonder how those people received them. Because they did not receive Isaiah. They did not receive Jeremiah. They didn't receive these guys. They were despised and rejected just like the servant Jesus. And so, but were they successful? Did they write God's word down, and do we have it now so many thousands of years later? Were their words fulfilled that God gave them to speak? Friends, that is success. That is prosperity. Even though they lived in dust and ashes and they were despised. We can look at the life of Jesus too. Was he successful in life? Did people hate him? Yes. Was he successful? Yes, he was. We have to redefine prosperity and success. You know, in this past year, I'm really grateful to God for the people that I've been able to witness to. And you guys realize you've been a part of that? I know I mentioned before, when we went to a restaurant in town, there's a waiter there that I got to know and got to meet with him. And just, we didn't go through the whole Bible, but we went almost through the whole Bible. He had so many questions, and I just said, hey, let's just, Genesis, you know, like, oh, here's an answer in Genesis, here's an answer in Isaiah, here's an answer in John, here's an answer, you know, in Revelation, and here we're just going through the scriptures. And this is an opportunity that you all opened the door for, and you know what? I got to see him on Christmas Eve. That was really cool. And I just asked him, hey man, how's it going? And he said, you know what, I still want to come to your church. He said, but it's my girlfriend, we're gonna go to her church on Christmas Eve. And he said, but I'm really still interested in what we talked about. I'm really still interested about that. Is he saved? I don't know. Is he saved? I don't know. But the fact is, the gospel was preached, and that is success. That is success. And is the sanctuary full? We'd love that, wouldn't we? We would love to see every seat in here full, and we have to pull out more chairs, you know, and pack this place out. But friends, God is the one who determines that. Let's be faithful in what he has called us to do now. Let's continue to preach. Let's continue to reach. Let's continue to touch people's lives with the gospel of Jesus Christ, because we know that that's the only answer that is truly going to heal somebody's heart. And that's what really needs to be healed, right? Is the heart, more than anything else. More than financial problems, more than illness and disease and all these things. The heart is what needs to be healed. And Jesus is the answer to that. So, let's continue. And how do we continue doing that? By the Word. Friends, the more that we know the Word, the better prepared we are going to be to give that hope. The mission that God has given us, cross over the Jordan, conquer these people. The mission that he's given, guess what? This is where we find the answers. This is where we find the strength and the courage. Friends, you notice how many times he said, be strong and courageous. And then again in verse 9, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Be strong and courageous. Friends, strength and courage is only needed for the battle. Strength and courage is only needed when you're going to fight some battles and you're going to fight some wars. God is telling that to Joshua. He's saying, be strong and courageous. Well, where are you going to get that? Only from God and his word. Only from God and his word. So friends, as we're in transition here, not just in a new year, from one year to the next, but as we're in transition as a church, and we're looking forward to, okay, we've set a budget, right? We did that. Okay, check. Now, let's start dreaming and thinking about, okay, Lord, where are we going to go? What are we going to do? How are we going to conquer the nation and bring the gospel? How are we going to do that? Here's the answers right here. We've got to meditate on this. How are we going to get the strength from it? We've got to be in this, guys. I cannot tell you exactly what the new year is going to look like, because guess what? I never have been able to. And I always seem to fail. Anytime I make a plan, it just seems like, where did that come from? What happened to that plan? Here's the thing, guys. As long as we continue in this, week after week, day after day, we know we can't go wrong. And that's what gives me courage and strength, because even though I've made plans for years past and they haven't been seen through, guess what? I'm still standing, and you're still standing, and we're still standing, and we're still in the Word, and we're still worshiping Jesus. That's success. That's prosperity. Let's not waste our new year. I just want to encourage you, start thinking about how am I in this new year going to be in God's Word more and more. You're already thinking about it, I know, because the radio told me. Radio already told me. You're already thinking about it. How are you going to be invested in God's Word? And we do a Bible study at the police department. You guys know that. And the other week, before we took a couple weeks off for the holidays, and I just wanted to give them some encouragement. And some of these guys are young believers. Some of them are mature believers. Some of them are not believers at all. But what I wanted to give them is just say, guys, you know what? We study the Bible each week. We open it up. But you know what? One thing that I haven't really done to help them is to teach them how to be in the Word on their own. And so I just said, a very simple plan for you: take the book of Luke and read one chapter a day. And if you miss a day, don't worry. The next day, pick it up again. Read the next chapter. And then the next chapter. You miss 2 days, 3 days, whatever. It's fine. Pick it up again. See, the thing is not for us to feel guilty, okay? How many of you, well, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many of us have started the one-year plan and never finished it? I've started it probably two or three times and never finished it. But you know what works for me is when I can just, I'm going through right now, I finished 1 Samuel and 1 Kings right now. man, God is opening up my eyes. I talk about books on leadership. You want to open up, you want your eyes to be open on how selfish of a leader you are? Start reading about the kings. And, but I can do a chapter a day. Maybe some days I do five. Maybe some days I don't do any. But friends, how are we going to be in the Word? And this is one thing that I wanted to explain to them, and I want to explain to you as well. Let me just read this for you. Your desire for God's Word must be greater than your resolve to be disciplined. You guys get what I'm saying there? Your desire for God and His Word has got to be greater than your resolve to be disciplined. Because you know what? We can set the alarm clock. We can have the checklist ready. We can have the coffee pot set, right? But those things are not going to get you into God's Word. God is going to get you into His Word. So probably the first thing to start doing is start praying, Lord, I just want to be desperate for You. I just want to be desperate for You. I just want to start seeking You more. And Lord, help me. On the days when I'm struggling, help me. I see patterns in my week where I'm stronger than other days. And we can talk about that if you'd like to. You know, just I know I have areas where I need to grow in my meditation on the Word. And we all do. But the thing is, are we going to start? Are we going to make an effort? Are we going to seek the Lord this year? And if we do, we are going to be blessed. And it may not be exactly what we wish it were, but God is going to bless us in exactly the way He wants to. Because whenever you're spending time with the Lord, He has you where He wants you. And He's going to bless you in some way. It may hurt sometimes, but He's going to do it. You know, Jesus spent a lot of time in meditation, didn't He? I mean, we saw Jesus go up the mountain. We saw Jesus take some moments away from the disciples in prayer, in meditation. We know He knew the Word. We know at 12 years old He was in the temple learning the Word. We know those things. We know that Jesus, even Jesus, the author of the Word, was devoted to the Word. And friends, I think that's one thing we can learn about His humanity, His coming to earth, just like we were, you know, born as little children, and then actually learning. Jesus actually had to learn. The creator of the universe had to learn something? Yes. And He learned the Word. Friends, if He did it, we can do it too. And if He was dependent on His Father, we must also be dependent upon our Father. I think this is how Jesus gained the strength to go through with the mission. We know that. What? We know that's how He gained the strength, right? In the Garden of Gethsemane. And He's pleading with the Father. If it's Your will, take this cup from Me. But not My will, it's Your will. And the Lord is strengthening His Son, Jesus, to go to the cross. You guys realize, if we're not in prayer, if we're not in the Word, guess what? We don't have that strength. We don't have that kind of strength to do the mission that God has called us to do, to deny ourselves, to pick up our cross daily and do it. Friends, I don't know about you. If I miss a day, that's what I'm not, my mind is not set right. Let's follow Jesus' example. As we close up, I just want to say this. I don't think I've really presented the gospel plainly enough that you would be able to hear it and believe it and receive it. If you haven't believed in Christ before, I want to just invite you. This man Jesus, who walked on the earth, who was born 2,000 years ago, for our place, he came to live in our place, to die in our place, and to rise in our place. He died for our sins so that we could be forgiven, And then he rose from the dead, so that if we are forgiven, we also will rise from the dead and we will have eternal life. And I want to ask you this morning, do you want that? And some of you, I know, you already have that. And you rejoice because of it. But for those who don't, I want to invite you this morning to believe and to follow after this Jesus. And maybe your transition is now from death to life. Your transition is no longer stuck in the grave, but resurrected. New life with Jesus. Your life is not going to be just easy, like some of the people on TV want you to think from here on out. But there will be coming a day when Jesus will come back. Joy to the world, right? Let earth receive her King. And in that day, you and I will be with him forever. Let's praise the Lord. Lord, thank you for your word. I just pray that this new year would be different for us. We pray, Lord, that this new year we would be more devoted to your word. We would meditate on it. We would delight in it. We would delight in you. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to organize ourselves. Lord, help the leadership of this church to organize ourselves, Lord, for the purpose of devoting ourselves to your word. That we would train, that we would equip the saints for the work of ministry, Lord. I just pray that this year would be better than the last. And then 2017 would be better than 2016, Lord. That you just continue to help us to grow and grow and grow and invest in each other more and more and more and make disciples, Lord. God, we pray that you would bring in new believers through our work. God, we ask that you would establish the work of our hands, as the psalm says. Establish the work of our hands, Lord. God, send us out to that harvest field with the plow and with the sickle, Lord, and just, Lord, that we would reap a harvest. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would empower us, that you would empower us every day to walk in your light, to speak your truth, to love one another, to share each other's burdens. Lord, we need you. We need you desperately, and we need you just as much as Joshua needed you to cross that river and to go into the promised land. So, Father, we just ask for more and more of your help. We pray this in your name. Amen.